Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You can text us on the Egger Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Egger Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Craig Riley here with Bucko Talk every Saturday throughout the season from 9 to 11. And every Saturday at this time, we go out to the lines and talk to our Pirates insider here at the Fan, the Post-Gazette Pirates beat writer Jason Mackey, who, as I understand, is fighting through some second-shot side effects. Jason, how you feeling this morning?
I'm doing better now, Craig. If you would have talked to me 2 hours ago, things would not have been pretty. It's amazing how, like, I get home from the game last night and just start getting these awful, awful chills, and I'm sorry to scare you. I know you have your second shot coming up. But
yeah, on Monday.
So that knocked me down, and then I get up this morning, and it's just a brutal headache, but I think hopefully the worst is behind me. It's just kind of like an achy feeling, so we're powering through.
Well, thank you for powering through, and hopefully this helps cure the headache a little bit for you, not adding to it like watching Mitch Keller pitch at times, but we'll get to that. I want to ask you first about sort of a big-picture question for the Pirates. They sit here, they were this week at 500, a game above, and I think better than anybody would have expected them to be at this point. I don't think that that has changed the course or should change the course for Ben Cherington at all. Like, if he got a call for Richard Rodriguez today and the trade made sense, would you fully expect him to still pull the trigger on a trade like that?
Yes, I okay. absolutely would. And, you know, Pony made a big deal of this early in the week. You know, he asked me the Adam Frazier component of it. And I truly believe that, yes, he would act on it. Now, is a team going to make an offer like that right now? No. Is it ever going to get to that point? No. But the overarching point here, Craig, is what you're talking about. Like, they have a goal. Their goal is to use this year as an important pivot point to something bigger. And that means trading guys who aren't going to be around for that big picture thing for something. Right now, Richard Rodriguez's stock is obviously extremely high. And I don't know if it's going to change, frankly. I mean, he's just a really good pitcher, and that's great. That's good for them, and it's good for him, and I hope he goes to a contender and pitches his butt off. But it makes sense for them to act on that now. You know, when those offers come, I fully expect Ben Cherington to act on them. Now, he's going to be able to, like anybody, peddling a good asset or having something that other people want, like, you can be discerning, and he should do that. He shouldn't jump at the first offer. But do I ultimately think they're going to trade these guys and stay on course, like, even if they keep flirting with 500? You know, like, let's say they're 500 in a month from now. I still don't think that's going to change the calculus.
And that's what I wonder about Ben Cherington. It doesn't make sense for him to come out and say, here's exactly how I'm going to build this and what we're going to do long term. But when I try and figure out what it's going to look like for the Pirates in the Ben Cherington era, do you expect or suspect he'll be the type of GM along the lines of what we see done in Tampa, where you're willing to trade a guy like Blake Snell, even though you have control over him? Or do you look at it like it may be, we're going to build it up, go for it for a couple of years, and then maybe scale back and then build again? Do you get a feel for how Ben Cherington wants this to go long term? Is the guy running the Pirates?
That's an interesting question, Craig. And I would probably have to guess And I don't think I can't give you like a firm answer, like they're going to do A or B, because it's not that simple, right? Like it's circumstantial. You're going to operate the team based on what you have. Like I think the idea now is to get a bunch of talented players and get this team better. And I know that's a boring answer, so I'm going to try to explain it in a way that is a little bit more spicy or people can understand it or whatever. Like you have to even create that question for yourself, right? Like if they're good and all of a sudden they have good players at every level, you have to sort of see, like, does it make sense to push all of our chips into the table right now and maybe say screw it 3 years from now? I mean, maybe. I don't think that's the way Ben's going into it, though. I think if you made him pick A or B, it would be to create more of a sustainable model where sometimes you have to make those tough decisions, like Blake Snell. But why I'm saying it's a little bit more circumstantial and you need context on it is because you don't know what you have. Like, we don't know the decision with which Ben Cherington is faced. If they have your fictitious Blake Snell, just to keep going with that, like, if he's got a couple young arms filling in behind, then, yeah, you're going to make that decision. You're going to be okay letting him go. If they don't, and they're still valuing contention and they feel like they can win, then that's a situation where you're going to have to spend the money, pay to keep the guy, whatever. And, you know, just to sort of keep going with that, not to blab too much on it, but, like, same deal for position players. Let's say they get this thing turned around. They get some really good pitching, got a good bullpen. Right field, I'm just arbitrarily picking right field, is an abyss. They need to get somebody. Like, that's going to be a situation where you have to go pay a guy for a year contract or whatever, and I fully expect them to do that. But the idea is to get more talent, grow these guys, get more going in behind. And so if you have to lose a guy like that, it's okay because you've got some 21-year-old Dominican prospect who's going to come up and do just as well.
Talking with our Pirates insider here at the Fan, Jason Mackey. And the reason I ask this, Jason, is because I look at the Rays, and they were very close to winning the World Series last year. But I look at them in the A's as sort of like the model small market franchise of how to have sustained, continued success. But neither has won the ultimate prize under that model. They haven't won a World Series. So that's where I wonder how things work in Ben Cherington's mind. Do you want to be the team with sustained success like that year after year and always be a contender but maybe never get there and win the World Series? Or do you want to have that year where you go for it, recognizing that maybe a couple years down the line it's going to hurt you? And I, like you said, there's no way to answer how Cherington feels about that, but I'm just very curious, thinking big picture as I see, like, the minor league rosters shake out and all these guys at low and high A that they're probably going to have and when they could be here, how Ben Cherington views this all going. I'm wildly intrigued, as you can tell by that notion, and fixated on it.
No, man, I think that's a great question. And I don't have the answer for you either, but I also don't think it's as simple as picking A or B. Like, I don't think you have to pick a model. And especially right now with where they're at, like, they're so far away from having to answer the question that you're talking about. It's almost a good thing, right? Like, the beginning stages of what Ben is doing, like, I hate giving answers like that to people because it sounds so lame and boring, but, like, that's literally what they need to do. They need to get a heck of a lot more talent than they currently have. In 1 year in, Ben did an excellent job of that. And you ask anybody around baseball, and they're going to agree with that sentence. Like, did the Pirates infuse a lot of talent into their organization in the past year? Every single person you talk to is going to say yes. And then you need to do it the next year. And then you need to do it the next year. And, like, that's where the former regime sort of broke down. But it wasn't as sustainable as it should have been. They should get all the credit in the world for what they did to identify and build toward 2013 through 2015, and they did some awesome things, and then they never evolved. And they never evolved when it came to, like, the major league pitching side, where they're still throwing sinkers and pitching to contact and all that stuff that you see there. They didn't evolve in the Dominican. You know, that pipeline of talent got stale. They didn't get anybody out of there. They drafted poorly. Their development stalled. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that happened. You know, people want to yell and scream about Bob Nutting spending money, and, like, I get it. I would like to see them spend more money too, but, like, there are so many other things that broke down that, like, left Cherington in a position where, like, okay, I've got to fix development. We have to get more minor leagues. Like, you know, there's just a lot of stuff here before we can start talking about, are they going to go all in, or are they going to do it more in a sustained way?
Well, let's talk about some of these prospects. It could be that wave that gets the Pirates back to that 2013 to 2015 type team that we saw. Nick Gonzalez, the top prospect for the Pirates. We saw the AA and low A rosters get announced yesterday. He wasn't on either of them. Safe to assume high A for him?
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to see Greensboro is going to be the place to be, man. I'm going to have to get me a place down to, or a trip down to Greensboro to see, Gonzalez is going to be down there. Quinn Priester is going to be down there. Leover Peguero is going to be down there. I'm a little surprised. I thought they'd keep Priester and Bradenton, but I'm also not sure it matters. I don't even know how long he's going to pitch in single A, to be honest with you. He's been so dominant against that level of competition. Like, he's probably going to go there and just shut people down, and then we'll be talking about him in double A, I think, probably before too long. But, yeah, that's what it looks like there. And then double A has also been an interesting roster, man. I was looking at Altoona last night, and Mason Martin at first and O'Neill Cruz at shortstop, what you do with G1 Bay. But there's some players there.
Yeah, so you're, what, 2, 3, and 5 rated prospects are probably going to be at high A. O'Neill Cruz starting at double A. I wondered what sort of work they were going to be able to accomplish last year and if that would sort of act as a season at the minor league level for a guy. But obviously for Cruz, he's not going to make that jump up to triple A to start this season. Do you have any problem with that, or were you expecting him to probably be at double A?
No, I was expecting him to be at double A. And to be honest with you, Craig, I don't understand the uproar and why people think he belongs at triple A. Like, what has he done to warrant that placement?
I think it was just the unknown of what was maybe accomplished last year. People were hoping that they, like, a guy got a lot of work in last year. But, I mean, how much, looking back on it, how much could they have really done it? What did we call it last year, a satellite camp to develop like that?
I mean, he came out in spring. He didn't hit ball. And that's happened against O'Neill Cruz. He was, like, one for his first 20. And, I mean, I like the tools that he has on defense. Like, the throwing arm is tremendous. Like, he can take two steps and go from, like, third base to second base fielding a ground ball. It's impressive. But, like, you also see the balls that, like, randomly scoop between his legs or that just misses. Like, there's just inconsistency there. And it's the same way at the plate. He struck out too much. And it's not a knock on O'Neill Cruz. He's just not ready. He's played 35 games at AA, and he didn't hit in spring. And I just, it's totally fine for him to continue to play at double A. I was talking about this last night with somebody. Like, dude keeps saying he's going to be in the major leagues. Like, I think he should probably pump the brakes on that. I think he will be eventually, and I think he's a tremendously talented player. It just can't – this group would be so dumb, the current Pirates group, to, like, bypass important developmental things like that. It's okay if O'Neill Cruz doesn't get to the major leagues this year. I would rather him get there when he's ready to be productive, be consistent, know what he's doing. And he's not there. So I'm fine with him starting at double A and playing every day. Use triple A for Cole Tucker. They need to figure out what they're doing with him. I don't think anybody knows. But you would like to see him, go down there and hit and challenge for a spot.
Our Pirates insider, Post-Gazette Pirates beat writer Jason Mackey joining us here on Bucco Talk. Jason, as I keep going through the top prospect list here and seeing where guys are and guys who don't have a level yet. Travis Swagger, he's a guy to me. I'm assuming he's going to be at high A since he wasn't on either of the rosters that came out yesterday. And he's a guy that I just really don't know what to make of. A first-round pick for the Pirates, very mixed results, nothing spectacular in the minor league levels yet. What do the Pirates think of Travis Swagger? Do you know?
Here's an interesting one for you, Craig. I've been hearing Swaggerty's going to wind up at AAA.
Really?
Yeah. A little surprised by it. It's not public. I don't have it completely confirmed.
That's skipping the AA level entirely.
I know. And it's a bit of an odd one. But he's not at AA. We know that. And he did what had to be done in single A, you would think. Like, he had a pretty good year in 19. Like, I'm not sure there's anything left for him to accomplish. Now, keeping Swaggerty at AAA, you got to also remember, like, you've got Brian Goodwin, at least for now. If I'm him, I opt out. And
How's that guy not opt out?
I don't understand that one. And, if you're the Pirates, I'm not sure you can afford to allocate time to Dustin Fowler and Anthony Alford unless they show you some reason to believe Jared Oliva's hurt. So, I mean, there could be an opportunity for Swaggerty. Now, he, to me, falls in that category of O'Neill Cruz, where there was a lot of excitement. And I mean, he's a first-round pick. He did some good things in 2019, but, you know, theoretically got some work done in 2020, but just didn't do anything to turn any heads in spring training. And so he's somebody I'm going to be watching. They like him. I mean, it's not anything they dislike about it. It's just he's not ready. The consistent contact has not shown itself yet. They like his speed. They like his defense, you know, and he's done it at times. But he, you know, sort of like Cruz, he's a little too raw at the plate. And I find that AAA assignment kind of interesting because you're almost taking him and throwing him in the deep end at that point, saying, like, this is the message. You need to get this together. You're a 2018 first. This is where you should be. Let's go. And, you know, I can see why, because they have a need in the outfield right now.
And that's what's interesting to me about Swaggerty. I never anticipated you were going to say AAA. That's very interesting to me. But they did draft him out of college. I mean, college products are supposed to be closer to the majors than what he would be. If he started this year at high A, you would probably view that as he's behind where he should be in his ascension through the minors. So that's a guy that, man, that'll be very interesting to me if he starts at AAA. Because that was going to be my next question. Who are we going to see at AAA this year? I imagine Yuhure and Will Crow could be in the rotation there with maybe like Cody Ponce. But who else would you be keeping an eye on of guys you expect to see at the AAA level?
Yeah, so, I mean, in some ways it's sadly going to be just like a way to stash guys. You know,
yeah.
Like you're going to see Kevin Kramer there. You're going to see Will Craig there. I don't think either of them have a reasonable chance of contributing in Pittsburgh. You're going to see Cole Tucker get reps there. The rotation, you mentioned a couple guys. I believe Chase DeYoung is going to be there as well. Mm-hmm. Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer. I'm still curious to see him pitch. I don't think he's done. Like, I just have this feeling that we're going to hear something. You know, we're going to see Stephen Wright come up here and get a chance. They wouldn't have done that if they didn't think that he could contribute. So, I mean, those are the guys that I think you need to keep an eye on. We may see Rodolfo Castro again. I wouldn't be shocked there. I mean, they called him up for a reason. He's on the 40. He's an easy transition. I don't know off the top of my head whether he's in double A, single A, triple A, what his assignment was, but, you know, you're on the 40. You're that close. So he's somebody I would expect to get to triple A at some point this season. And I think that's it. If I'm not addressing somebody, let me know.
No, that's everybody I was hoping to hear about. And then the last thing I want to ask you was Cole Tucker. They say he's going to play short at AAA or in the minors when he does get out of the skill development level in Bradenton, the hang out with Vanessa Hudgens level that he's at down in Florida. But why not in the outfield? Like you mentioned, Travis Swaggerty, if he's at AAA, can play there because it looks like they could use outfielders. Why are they totally, it seems to be, rolling that out at this point?
I don't understand, Craig. I don't. And like, I understand why Cole Tucker is not here, because he has to hit and he hasn't hit.
Yeah.
And that's just calling a spade a spade. Like, he lost out badly in the spring training competition. But, like, why are we just – one, why did we punt on him playing the outfield? And I understand why you're not going to do it. You're going to try to get him to play shortstop because that's his natural position. Fine. You don't have outfielders right now. They had more outfielders last season, and they tried to shoehorn him into a spot than they do this year, and they're resisting it. You know, why is he in Bradenton for quote unquote skill development? Why can't they tell us what that entails? All of that's weird. I can't say in my reporting that I've ever seen anybody so resistant to talking about what somebody is working on, especially like a first round pick, a prospect that, you know, is seemingly a part of the future. Like, he's not with your alternate site team. There must be a reason. Can you explain what the reason is? What's he doing? And we're not hearing it. So it's just, that's odd. Me personally, I don't understand why you don't try him in the outfield, but I also don't understand, you know, I don't know the context of maybe how he feels or what somebody thinks of him. Maybe there's metrics out there that show he's not the greatest defensive center fielder, although I kind of doubt that. It's just odd, man. I don't know how to make heads or tails of what we're seeing with Tucker right now.
Jason, as always, I really enjoy our conversation. I hope you feel better as the day goes on.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, Craig. Take care.
Yeah. All right. Pirates insider Jason Mackey, one of my favorite conversations we have every week here on The Fan, is just talking about the week that was for the Pirates, big picture with him. Great insight and information from Jason always as well. Check his stuff out whenever you get a chance. Up next, we're going to talk about Cole Tucker and why not trying him in the outfield. What in the world is going on with Cole Tucker? We're also going to talk about Travis Swaggerty, because I had him pegged as a high A guy. I trust Jason's information more than anybody's. And if he's saying he's hearing that he could maybe start a AAA, that's going to be very interesting. We'll get into that and more. Craig Riley here with you on Bucco Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.